If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is proud to be part of the Osiris Podcast family, a growing community of music and cultural podcasts connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and of course, music. For more, visit osirispod.com. The show starts now.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Change My Way, a powerful track from the forthcoming Carl Denson Tiny Universe record, Gnomes and Badgers, due out March 8th, 2019. The song has an equally powerful video that is available on our Facebook page or at carldenson.com. This record is a significant departure for Denson in that it has very strong political overtones, something he truly has stayed away from until now. Aside from the usual Tiny Universe players, Chuck Lavelle, Anders Osborne, Ivan Neville, and Lucas Nelson also contributed in parts to the making of Gnomes and Badgers. It's a powerful record, both sonically and thematically, one that we were excited to talk to Carl about. Our conversation started when I asked Carl about getting more political on this record and what inspired that direction.
Well, we're living in dark times, Ira. I've watched, in my extended family and my friends and, just people around me that, very smart people. I've watched them become a little crazy over the last three or four years, it's a really weird thing. And so, this, my politics are mostly down the center. So I can feel for each side, but it's just, there's some really crazy thinking going on and some lack of critical thinking that's going on. And we got the internet just poisoning everybody's minds so that's really what spurred this.
You're a guy who spends a lot of time not in the United States, traveling the world in your side gig with the Rolling Stones. And so you must talk to people who see what's going on in the United States differently, perhaps, than the way you see it, as somebody who does live here. And you must talk to people on the road about being an American and dealing with the, not just the foibles of the president, but also of, like you said, both sides on the left and the right. What's the sentiment like when you're traveling and people ask you about what's going on in your home country?
I think everybody's dealing with the same stuff. That's the problem. Like, you go to Europe and you're still, they've got their right wing, nationalist movements going on. And so, I'll tell you the funniest thing is, being out with the Rolling Stones, and being in Europe, being black is a lot easier than being white, a white American, because all the white guys in the band, they are like cracking up at the fact that, they get questioned by the Europeans. The Europeans are like what the Tim Reese, the other sax player, or Chuck, they say that people kind of whisper to them, "Did you vote for Trump?" They know I didn't vote for Trump, but they look at those guys and they're like, "What's going on with that?" I think everywhere there's just this attack on the truth and on critical thinking, and I think it's going on everywhere. And so, everybody's dealing with the same exact stuff. The fear of the other and the castigation of the immigrant, and but no critical thinking that goes into it. We blew up most of the Middle East, in mistaken wars, but we hate the refugees. It's that kind of mentality that I'm battling with. We don't want people to have abortion, but we don't want to help with welfare. It's just, you can't have it both ways.
Right. No song on the record probably has a bigger political message than Change My Way. First, let's talk about writing of the song, because if I understand correctly, Anders Osborne helped you write that song. I'm curious about your connection with Anders, and if it goes back to, obviously it goes back to New Orleans, but what made you decide to hook up with Anders specifically?
You know what, I guess about 7 years ago now, that's how time flies, you know. Mm-hmm. We did the Rolling Stones tribute, the Sticky Fingers tribute, and I got Anders to come do it with me, and Anders and I had, you know, not really, we didn't have a real relationship, but like my relationship with him doesn't actually go back to New Orleans, it goes through New Orleans, we didn't really know each other, and so it was kind of a little bit of a cold call when I actually called him and asked him to come out and do the Sticky Fingers thing with me. And I think it was just, fortunate timing that he was available to do that. And he was kind of, you know, rebuilding in a rebuilding process. So he was up for it. But, we went out and we just got along, you know, and he's really a pretty amazing, you know, musician and artist. So that was a super pleasure. And so we just became friends from there. And he just has a really good sense of what is needed. So I brought that tune to the band and they were confused by it. Mm. So, by the chorus, you know, because it's a little odd timey. It's got some odd bars in it, and so I needed some help with it. And there's a couple of songs like that I was working on that the band wasn't quite translating. So I called Anders and just went down to New Orleans and spent a couple of days hanging out with him at his house and showed him the tunes and. You know, and he's got his take on it. So it was something that I'm going to do every record, you know, is there's, I've got a lot of little ideas that I feel like now knowing him, he'll be the perfect foil for them.
For, what's going on in your head. Musically, at least. And then the other question, of course, is the video itself, which is so well done. And I'm curious about hooking up with TJ Harrington and just the style, I think, of the video is so impactful. Not just some of the footage that's included or the people that are kind of come in and out of the video, but just the feeling of the video and the darkness of just you singing and having DJ Williams off to the side. How did you hook up with TJ and how did you kind of decide that was going to be the treatment for the video?
We met him through Press Hall. He's actually, I think they just released the Prez Hall Cuba trip that he filmed,
right?
And me and my manager, we've been tight with Prez Hall for the last several years, and so that was one of their connections. And then he's got he was raised in Argentina. I think he's from New York originally, but he was actually raised in Argentina because he's got Latin roots, and they wanted to keep him connected to that. So when he saw, you know, when he heard the song and realized what we were trying to do, he just really got on board with it. And so it was just a super blessing, you know, because he really put a lot of extra work and, I couldn't have afforded that video if I had to pay, you know, a market price for it.
So he really went to bat for us and for the people involved in the in this whole movement. So that just turned out to be a really a big blessing.
It's such a powerful piece. I mean, it really is, between the visuals and the performance and just the idea of sewing together that flag. It's just a powerful, powerful like that, video.
Yeah, he totally blew my mind with all that stuff.
There are some other high-profile contributors to this record. Of course, your bandmate, Chuck Laval, and Lucas Nelson and Ivan Neville, they helped you write. It's not so clear. They helped you write the record, or they actually perform on the record as well?
No. Ivan's got a little contribution into Change My Way. I think he got some writing credit for that, because that was kind of a we kind of put that together in the studio. But Chuck just plays piano on one track,
right?
And then and Lucas Nelson plays a guitar solo on one track.
It is quite extraordinary, the people that you have playing on this record. It doesn't only feature people from Tiny Universe, but like you say, it's heavyweights like Chuck and Lucas Nelson. Your universe, given your side gig, isn't so tiny after all. I mean, this is a collection of people from both Tiny Universe and the bigger Carl Denson universe at this time. How do you put all those pieces together? Is it something that you're thinking about when you're on the road, when you're writing the record, or is it something that really does come together when you're putting the record together?
It kind of just came together as we're putting the record together. I wanted to the session that we did with Ivan and Anders was part of a bigger, there's a bunch of other tunes that didn't make the record. I did this record pretty much three times. Like we did three sets of sessions, ended up with a bunch of songs and a record that wasn't cohesive. And so, Change My Way, Millvale, and Smart Boy are the remains of those sessions. The rest of the record was recorded actually in 2 days. We knocked out like eight or nine tunes in 2 days. Because I just kind of figured it out, you know, like we had this really expansive record that wasn't making sense to us. And then the band kind of came together. And I, you know, had a bunch of other tunes, and we just went in the studio and knocked them all out really fast. So it was a process, which I'm looking forward to repeating now. I feel like I understand what I'm doing, in terms of this movement of, you know, writing vocal tunes. That's really what this record, is highlighting, aside from its political viewpoint, is just, you know, a whole record of vocal tunes.
What's more exciting for you? Because I'm glad you brought up the vocal thing versus, you know, playing an instrument, and that, you know, you're so well known for playing. Is it the vocal stuff, or is it, you know, actually playing, you know, either sax or trumpet? What for you is a bigger pleasure when you're on stage?
It's either or, you know. It's really, for me, it's the composition. You know, that's really what I'm all about, and always have been. So for me, it's like, if you go back to New Ammo, you know, it was more of a saxophone record, but it was, you know, driven by the compositions. And this record is a vocal record, which is driven by the composition. So for me, it's just really writing it. You know, like I was just telling a friend yesterday, that I'm looking forward to the next record, because I want to combine where I've just moved to in terms of vocal tunes to having a little bit more saxophone involved in that in another way. So it's for me, it's always a writing challenge.
Well, the challenge continues to be an interesting one, because it's not clear if this is a funk record, a blues record, or just a straight ahead rock and roll record. I mean, there are components of all three on the record, and given the players on the record, that makes a lot of sense. But and given, you know, spending the time with the compositions and writing these songs, how do you see this record, at least sonically, from your perspective?
Well, I think I was trying to make a funk record, and but I feel like the sentiment on the record is blues. So, you know, me and my manager had this discussion many times of like, what, you know, when we were trying to come up with the title, you know, it was like, I was like, I want it to be kind of a, like some kind of a blues title, you know? And he was like, well, it's a funk record. And I'm like, yeah, but it's blues, you know, 'cause it's about relationships. It's about people, you know, not understanding each other. It's about human interaction. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think of it as a funk record, a funk blues record is what I would call it.
That's interesting. And there seems to be kind of this growing community of funk artists who aren't, you know, who aren't necessarily in the spotlight, but continue to play either a bluesy funk or R&B funk or you know, just straight up kind of party funk. Are you aware of kind of this renaissance of funk music that's going on now a little bit in the community?
Yeah. I mean, it comes and goes. Everything comes and goes. And you know, like what we're doing right now, you know, we were doing 15 years ago.
Yes.
And then it kind of, you know, it kind of died down, actually. There was a lot more funk bands, you know, when we first started, you know, playing, you know, in the jam band scene. There was a lot more funk early on, and then it kind of waned for a while. And now it's coming back around, you know. So and I think even in pop music, you're hearing it. You know, you got, you know, bands like Daft Punk and Bruno Mars, you know, who are kind of playing funk, or that one Childish Gambino record, you know,
right,
the blue one, you know, where it's like it's like some Parliament Funkadelic kind of stuff. So I think, you know, just the availability of all the music, you know, like to be able to listen to everything at once, with the way the internet is now, I think it's just a great tool, because, you know, people go back and they listen to, you know, old Chaka Khan and Rufus or Parliament or LaBelle, and go, wow, you know, I love this. And all of a sudden it starts coming out in their music. So that's really, I think what's going on is we're just becoming more, I think it's going to become more stable in a way. Like, you know, you're always going to have that large element of funk in the world, just because people know what it is now.
Right. The funk sound definitely starts with a great rhythm section. And when you have Chris and Zach and David and Kenneth, I mean, they know the sound. And DJ Williams, of course, is just an amazing funk player. But then you put in somebody like Seth Freeman, who plays the least funk instrument on the planet. I mean, I can't, you know, the lap steel is not exactly, it doesn't scream Parliament Funkadelic. How does that all come together? How do all of these players come together to make such a tremendous record in terms of musicianship and just power of the sound?
You know, the guitar chair, the second guitar chair, was really that and getting Zach back, you know, was really the key to this whole thing. And you know, I started playing guitar years ago, and it you know, just before New Ammo, and it led to me realizing I needed a second guitar player.
Right.
So that chair kind of rotated for a long time, and when I met Seth, it was just like the perfect thing. You know, he's just so solid as a slide player, you know, and that's a really difficult instrument, you know. And so he, once he was there, it kind of allowed me, I was always kind of trying to get more rock and roll out of the band, but DJ's he's a funk guitar player.
Yes.
And so it was always a battle, you know, with the one guitar player. Once I got Seth in the band, then it allowed me to go back to being a funk band and always have that rock sheen on the thing, which is exactly what I wanted. So it's really, that's why I feel like right now we're having fun. We're playing music that we feel is relevant and what we want, and looking forward to making more of it.
The plan is to obviously tour this record a bit. I mean, you're so busy. When do you have time to, when can you turn off and chill out for a little bit? I mean, between touring this record and I'm sure other dates, I mean, the Stones are going on the road for another big tour. How do you have time to just chill and enjoy the fruits of your labor?
Well, there's not that much, but the fall was, this past fall was kind of slow for me.
Right.
So on purpose, that was nice. I, from October through the end of the year, I was kind of on a minimal schedule, which was awesome.
Right.
So now I'm back in I'm probably going to do the same thing next fall. You know, we'll hit it hard through the end of the summer and into the fall to promote the record. And then, end of the year, I'll probably slow down a bit and chill a little and get to work on the next record. So, you know, do that from home base and but yeah, I got another 3-4 years of cranking out a bunch of tunes, man. I just heard, I don't know if you've heard the new Wayne Shorter record.
No, not yet.
But it's, you know, he's 85 now, and he just put out a freaking masterwork.
Wow.
So, you know, so there's lots to be done.
Are Keith and Mick still treating you like royalty on the road?
Yes, they are. they're awesome.
That's good. Talk about it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, it's just, I get to hang out with those guys. So that's the main thing.
Right. Thanks for a very special and important record. I mean, if people, when it comes out, and it's not out till March 8th. It's not out till March 8th, but I encourage people to check out the video for Change My Way and certainly, you know, listen to the record. And I you know, people, I don't think, I could be wrong, the goal isn't to make people change their way. The goal is to make people think about at least what's going on and think about, you know, the decisions that they make day to day and how they align themselves with what's right and what's wrong. And so I think it's a really important record from that standpoint, right?
That's exactly what it's about. It's really just about, it's about truth. You know, like we need to be truth and compassion. You know, I'm a little, you know, I'm Christian and I'm a little, disappointed with the Christians right now, because they've become, in a sense, they've started they become this herd that's following, you know, really bad leadership and really, you know, just not wise. It's not wise, and it's not, and it's not, the way the country was, this country was built. You know, this country was really built on compassion and on love. And we're not showing that now. We've become like, all of a sudden, it's just about me and my tribe. And that's just not the way we're going to, you know, the way we want to move into the next century.
Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for Gnomes and Badgers. And thanks for continuing to do what you do so well. We really appreciate it, Carl.
Thanks, Ira. I appreciate you.
Carl is a great guest, one that we're grateful joins us whenever there is a significant news item in his world. Gnomes and Badgers is a poignant turning point, perhaps for him, one that may see him sing more in the future, and one that may inspire more great writing. Gnomes and Badgers is due out March 8th, 2019, wherever you buy or stream music. The Change My Way video is something I'd encourage you to share on social media. For tour dates and more, visit carldenson.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to I'm Your Biggest Fan, a song that sonically is more in line with the Carl Denson sound, but lyrically has a chilling message.
Smoking, talking, UK style at the bar. Second trip to the powder room, came walking back, boom, there you are. Must neutralize my defense, straight into my confidence. Clever how you killed the urge to flee with an old picture of you and me. The fog was lifted from the edges of a swollen brain. Out of the mist, temptation turns into a summer rain. So smooth, line and talk, with a walk that says it all. There's someone on the line, it might just be a sign. Hey, wait, what's the rush? Don't you see, I think that you're the man. But don't worry, I'm not crazy, I'm your biggest fan. I'm your biggest fan. I said goodbye, then I worked my way back over to my chair. Sure enough, a few minutes later, I looked up and you were there. Jet of mine tricked one of my crew, continuation of a rendezvous. How winsome the ocean roar and the sea cries falling from the shore. They're all oblivious to the growing tension in the air. It's your advantage and you ain't playing fair. I bone out, little cab, let the crew pick up the tab. As I render my address, you open up the door. Hey, wait, what's the rush? Don't you see, I think that you're the man. But don't worry, I'm not crazy, I'm your biggest fan. I'm your biggest fan. I'm your biggest fan.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.